In Deuteronomy 31, which is the last chapter, which is the chapter where Moses and God, God tells Moses, you're going to die now. But in this chapter, God says some remarkable things that and this is the reading for the day out of Deuteronomy. When I read that, I was like, wow. I mean, I was just struck by the Holy Spirit that this applies to us if we would just hear it and not push it off into history. Just begin in verse 6, and there's a couple of words that I want to focus on just a little bit, and then we'll wrap this up. This is Moses talking to the whole of Israel about going into the promised land, and that he's not going to be with them anymore, kind of thing. But so he says to them, to be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. And then Moses called Joshua. I think we could probably assume that Joshua was probably pretty close when Moses said this the first time. But he calls Joshua and says to Joshua, very specifically to Joshua, because Joshua was going to be the guy. And Moses died very shortly. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So when I read that, I was struck with how similar are the times we live in today. There's been so many prophetic words about a tsunami of coming, of the Holy Spirit being poured out, about great revival and all of these things. Not being accusatory, but have you been sitting, waiting, hanging on? One of my favorite sayings when people say, well, how are you doing? I say, well, I'm like a rusty nail. I'm just hanging in there. And if you've ever had to pull nails out, rusty nails don't come out easy. But is that your attitude? That's my attitude sometimes. Absolutely. I was convicted by that. Yes, my attitude has been one of just sitting, waiting. Okay, Lord, come on. Pour out the Holy Spirit. Come on, revival. Come on, tsunami. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. And I'm not doing nothing. I'm not being strong or very courageous in that. The Lord is calling His church, I believe that with all my heart, that He's calling His church to step up and step out. Because revival is not really going to happen in the church, particularly if the church is just sitting, in an attitude of sitting. It's not, and I'm not saying that we've got to go run out the doors and go attack everybody at Walmart or on the streets and that kind of stuff, but we've got to have a heart that's not sitting. We've got to have a heart that's calling out, a heart that's pursuing the Lord. So I want to look at these two words in here, strong and courageous. Then you look this up in the Hebrew stuff, part of this meaning of this word, or maybe what this word's transmitting, parts of it, is to fasten upon, to seize. And so that's what Moses is telling them here, is fasten upon this, seize upon this, that you're going into this promised land. And courageous is another primitive word. It means to be alert, physically or mentally. And as I was thinking about that, so what does that look like? And I saw a runner just before a race has started, and he's into running blocks. Now, I did run a little bit of track. So the procedure that you go through is once you put your feet in the blocks and you go down onto your knuckles or whatever you do in that case, you're pretty tense. You're waiting for the sound, and usually of a gunshot, to explode into the race. And he who gets the best start usually wins the race, And it says that about being mentally alert. So are we that? Or that's the question for me is, and I pose to you, is are you ready? Are you in your spiritual running blocks, waiting for the go? Are you at full attention mentally for what God's doing and all? And I think that's what God's calling us to today. It's not to get so caught up into all the mess, but to be ready for what He does and for what door He opens, for which direction He pushes us into as individuals and corporately as a church. If you're waiting to see who's being elected president, you're wasting your time spiritually. Because it doesn't matter who's elected president. It really doesn't. All that matters is Christ. You know? Like, whoever's elected president will fulfill the will of God and the glory of God. Because God takes, no matter how crazy and goofy they are, and He can take all that was evilly intended and turn it to good, just as He did for Joseph. So it's not about that. It's about Him and being there for Him. And so I think sometimes we're a little bit like Joseph here. And if you read through this whole chapter, and this is how I'm going to try to end this, is it's funny because he goes through all of this here, and then I want to read this real quick to you. And then there's a commissioning of Joseph. God commissions Joseph. God commissions Joseph. Calls Moses and Joseph, and God commissions him. But in 14 it says, the Lord said to Moses, behold, the time for you to die is near. Call Joseph and present yourselves at the tent of meeting, that I may commission him. So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves at the tent of meeting. The Lord appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud, and a pillar of cloud stood at the door of the tent. So everybody knew God was there doing something. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, you're about to lie down with your fathers, and this people will arise and pray the harlot. Now, get this. This people that Joshua is going to lead into the promised land will rise and play the harlot with strange gods of the land into the midst of which they are going, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them, and they will be consumed, and many evils and troubles will come upon them, so that they will say, in that day, is it not because our God is not among us that these evils have come upon us? But I will surely hide my face in that day, because all the evil which they will do, for they will turn to other gods. Now therefore write this song for yourselves and teach it to the sons of Israel. Put it on their lips so that this song may be witnessed for me against the sons of Israel. For when I bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey, which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and are satisfied and become prosperous, then they will turn to other gods and serve them and spurn me and break my covenant. Then it will come about when many evils and troubles have come upon them that this song will testify before them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten from the lips of their descendants. For I know their intent, which they are developing today, before I have brought them into the land which I swore. So Moses wrote this song, and I didn't look up the song, and taught it to the sons of Israel. Then he commissioned Joshua. You know, if I'd have been Joshua, I'd say, whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, wait a minute here. I don't know that I really want to have anything to do with this bunch of, crazies. They're going to break all your covenants. You're going to hide your face from them. How about me? You know, I'm going to be at the front. I'm going to be at the tip of this spear that you're going to deserve. And so he goes on, he commissions him. And again, he says, he commissioned Joshua, I keep saying Joseph, the son of Nun, and said, be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the sons of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you. You know, I think we're kind of in that time. You know, sometimes especially lately, with the crazy that's going on, I've been saying, Lord, I'm like being like, do I really have to talk to people anymore? You know, as an introvert, I like not talking to people sometimes. Because I look and it's kind of like, you know, God told him. So I can't imagine how you feel, because I'm just looking out there seeing the possibility of total, total crazy continuing and going on. And I'm tired of it. You know, I confess, there's times I'm so sick and tired of this nonsense, this crazy, this changing and the belittling and the anger and the hate and the that's just between the two presidential candidates, you know, but not much less the rest of America that are wanting to kill cops, defund police departments so they can't do their jobs and just basically turn over the poor to the criminals. You know, it breaks my heart, you know, and I'll be honest, there's days when I just don't want to do this no more, you know, like I don't know the answers for all that, but there's been those days when I said, God, I'm tired of this. But then I read this morning, and I was so convicted of that very fact, that I'm not strong or courageous. I'm not ready to go. I'm not anticipating anything for God. Sometimes I've gotten caught so much into the darkness that we're sometimes having to walk through. And so the call to me is to be strong and courageous, to be ready to go, to not take my eyes off of that. And God, you know, so think about poor Joshua. You know, he's got quite a crew to lead now, but he did a great job. He was strong and he was courageous. You know, and that's what we're called to be, strong and courageous, believing in what God has said to us, believing in his love for us and for others, believing and waiting to just jump into it, not waiting for it to happen, but waiting to be the instruments of it happening when God calls to us. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.